Let's get into God's word. Psalm 102. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. You will probably hear me say a lot about favorite scriptures. There are many of them. Verses 13 through to 16, through to 17 particularly, sorry. So, Psalm 102, from verse 13 through to verse 17. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. When God wants to favor you, no man can stop it. When the set time of your favor comes, even if you want to derail the favor, God sets you in line. Do you know that? You don't know that. When the set time of your favor comes, even when you want to derail, God will set you in line. So the children of Israel, God set up a timetable for them. He set up a timetable for them. He said, in 70 years' time, you will go into captivity and then you will come back. What led to that particular problem was, God said to them, I'm going to give you this land. When I give you this land, you're going to use the land for 7 years and then you're going to take a rest. And then you're not going to farm the land for 7 years. And then you're going to take another 7 years. And there's a 1 year rest, 7 years work, 1 year rest. What did they do? They got to the land and they started using the land. They did not take any rest. They thought God was joking. And they actually spent 10 whole years, 10 whole seasons, 10 whole 7 years. No, 107 years of no break. And God said, I knew what I said when I said it, and I know what I meant when I said it. So God made sure that they were taken into captivity for 70 years. All the years the land never took a rest because God said it. When God speaks a word, he has a way of bringing it to pass. So they went into captivity for 70 years because they did not obey the every 7 year take a break rule. If you go and read your scripture, go and find out the dates, you find out that's what happened. But while they were in captivity, they were still misbehaving. But God had something in stock for them. Because God has something in store for them, he raised a couple of people here and there that was going to start taking it upon themselves to go and look at what the record says and start praying. And the people started praying. Lord, it's time for the captivity to be over. The set time of the favoring of your children have come. Just like you're being prayed for in this church at the moment by some people. Just like you're praying for yourself that, God, this is the time. You said it. You said this year. There are some words God gave you for this year. The set time for them has come. Why did I say that? Because God said to the man of God to call this month the month of our divine compensation. That is, it's time to give you back. And Pastor said the last 3 months of this year was going to produce for us much more than the beginning of the year has. So that means that the set time of your favor has come. And as you begin to pray it, God begins to release what he wants to do. But the question is, when you pray, what is he going to release? And how do you know he's released something? Because if you don't even know what happens when you pray, then you don't even know what you're waiting for. Pastor talked about delivery earlier. If you don't know you're waiting for a delivery, you never know it came. In actual fact, sometimes that happens in my home. We have two aliens that don't live in my home at the moment. They go buy different things and they get delivered to my home. Because it's only two of us living in my home at the moment, we don't bother looking at the post box because we're not looking for anything. It's only once in a while. I was thinking, hang on, we have not even opened this post box in a while. We go there and see like 3-4 different cards of somebody trying to deliver something that we're not expecting. I think, so we send texts. Were you expecting something? Yeah. But we were not expecting, but it's still my home, we heard. Even though they're not paying the mortgage in the home, they believe it's still their home. So if you're expectant though, you are constantly looking at the post box because you know God is set to do something. But you also need to know what you are waiting for. It could be a small package. It could be a big package. If it's a small package, you don't need to wait for it at home. They can just put it in your box. But if it's a big package, you've got to wait for it. And that's what we're saying here. That the time of your favor has come. The time that God wants to divinely compensate you. So you need to know what you're waiting for. The Bible then went ahead in that scripture. It says, for your servant take pleasure in our stones and shows favor to our dust. There is no better way for God to divinely compensate you than when you show favor in the things that have to do with God. The best way to speed, to put your life on a fast track in life is to take charge of God and God's people. Because God's very mindful of his people. In fact, it doesn't matter how bad they are. I don't mouth God's people. I don't talk negatively about God's people. You know what? Because there's another scripture in the book of Psalms that says that because you have spoken negatively about my people, the people that have done the wrong things, I myself will judge you. So be very careful and mindful how you talk about and to God's people, but be very mindful and careful and caring for God's own people. Because when you do that, you set yourself on a fast track. So that scripture goes ahead in verse 14. It says, your servant takes pleasure in her stones and shows favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. And I don't know what area you're looking for God to build you up this year. But I believe very strongly, because he has spoken the word, he will build you up in Jesus' name. The Bible says that he shall appear in his glory. You see, God doesn't appear in his glory until he has built up. So when he builds you up, then he appears in his glory and everybody sees it. So he needs to showcase you. So he needs to deliver some things into your hands. But you've got to know how to get them. And that's what we're talking about this morning. It says, for verse 17 then says, he shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayers. If God is regarding your prayers, how do you know? Let's stop. You know, it's good to be spiritual, but it's great to know how to get it. When I got born again, I was told after I finished praying, I should wait. I didn't know what I was waiting for, to be honest with you. I was just told to wait. Then I go to my disciple. I say, I waited yesterday, but I didn't get anything. He said, go back again and wait again. And wait again. Just the same way Eli did with Samuel, go back again until you understand what he's saying to you. He says, go. When he finishes, he will give you a scripture verse. I will go back. I would wait. The first few times were really interesting. I can never forget. I would get a scripture verse that does not exist. I go back and check, it's not there. You know, like say, you know, Psalm 200, verse something. I'm not even acquainted. You can tell I'm not acquainted with it. I wasn't acquainted with the scriptures itself. So I get something odd, awkward, that is not even existing. And I go back and check, it's not there. I go back to my disciple. I say, but it's not there. I say, go back. He kept telling me to go back. And I'm grateful to God today that I kept going back. Because I didn't give up because it wasn't there. Subsequently, it was there, but it wouldn't relate to what I'm asking for. And as time went on, it started relating more. It made more sense. I was more relaxed. Sometimes in those days, I would say, I'm waiting for God, and I would sleep off. And I wake up again. And I'm not even a dreamer, so I wouldn't even have a dream. You know, some people say, and God spoke to me in a dream. I don't know. But it wasn't my case. However, as time went on, I got to find out, how exactly does God answer our prayers? When you have prayed, when you've taken time to fast, when you are looking at a period like we are in right now, I'm very expectant. And I don't want you to miss out on what God wants to give to you as an individual in a church. I mentioned a short while ago, last week when I started this series, that last week, first service, and I did part of it in first service today as well, that there are seven ways that God can visit with you after you've prayed. And you should look out for them. Seven ways that you can receive your package. And I'm going to talk about maybe one or two of them in this service. Try and get last Sunday morning's service CD, the audio. Try and get this morning's audio. I'm going to try and expand on one or two of them in this service. The very first one, and it's not necessarily in order, is the word of God. So when you have prayed, like my disciple was telling me that time, I wasn't praying about anything specific. I was just praying. I wanted to grow as a Christian. I wanted to be successful as a person. I didn't have any like pressing need. I was only in uni. I was only in my first year. So, you know, money was not an issue. Father was paying. Home was not an issue. Mom and dad are great. Siblings were not an issue. Everybody was just peace. There's peace in my home. So I didn't have a pressing need. However, I wanted to be successful, like everybody else. I wanted to finish uni, you know, with good grades. And I just wanted to be a good Christian. I didn't know how to do it. And I was told, go and get from the word of God. Whether it's a big thing, a small thing, or a medium thing. And I always say, nothing is small to the person going through that challenge. It doesn't matter how anybody else views it. God's word is the first thing that you should always look out for, a word. The second thing that says, a wisdom. God gives you a wisdom. There's always a how to do things. If you're not a wise person, you will never know how to do the things that God has given to you. You can have all the elements of baking a cake, and you can never know how to bake a good cake because you're not wise enough to know how to put it together to get the best result. Some people have great husbands, and then they throw them away because there's no wisdom. And somebody else picks up that husband, and they see the husband, and they're thinking, what? How now did it become like that? It must be stepping over our head. No, you were not wise enough to manage that relationship when you had a chance. Some people have great wives, and their color never shows because they're in your hands. And all of a sudden, you know, the other day, a girl said something to me. She lost her husband, and she said something to me. She said, in all honesty, let me tell you something privately. She said, I am better off without him. That's sad. That is very sad. She was married to him for 10 years. She said,
She was relieved that God took him to heaven. Have you ever heard that before? She couldn't say that in public. But that's so sad. Because wisdom was missing to manage what God has given. So when God wants to bless you and answer your prayer, he gives you wisdom. Wisdom to be a great employee. Wisdom to be a great youth. Wisdom to raise a great child. Wisdom to be a great wife. Wisdom to be a great church worker, a great team member in your workplace, a great leader. There are leaders and there are leaders. And we talked massively, we talked a lot about that. And I said in James chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You can ask. And God will give it to you. And then we looked at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it was brilliant because all through that 1 Samuel chapter 18, the Bible says something about the man David. I'm not surprised that he's successful. I'm not. And it's not because God just chose him. And if that's the case, God has chosen you and I. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So you're chosen. But the Bible made us understand that, and David was wise, and David behaved wisely. If you read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18 all through, four different places, and the blessings that backed up that wisdom. Absolutely brilliant. I love that scripture. Actually, in all those places, I marked it, and I take time to pray for myself. He behaved wisely, and the Lord was with him. He behaved wisely, and his enemies began to love him. He behaved wisely. So all this, somebody hates me. Maybe you need wisdom. Because if wisdom is there, everybody will just start loving you. They don't even know why. They just start loving you because wisdom is present. It says, he behaved wisely and the Lord prospered him. Prosperity comes from wisdom. But how do you know what to do in order to become rich, in order to become successful, in order to have peace? All these troublesome little areas, maybe what you need from God is a wisdom from God so you can know what to do. Wisdom is to know what to do. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to apply it. Wisdom is applied knowledge. And then we spoke about a wise partner. 1 Samuel chapter... and now I still didn't put the chapter. Chapter 9, thank you. Verses 14 to 20. Well, we talked about the fact that there was something that happened to Saul. He was looking for a donkey. And while he was looking for the donkey, he stumbled across Samuel and the prophet. And in the midst of the prophet, he found something bigger than what he was looking for. And the prophet gave a word to him that settled him up and moved him to his next level in life. And I said, when God wants to bless you, he sends a word to you, a wise person that is around you to help you say, look, do you know what? We can do it and we can do it this way. Do you know what? I've been through this road. Do you know what? I prayed for you and God said this. And so on and so forth. So along those lines, please go and take last Sunday morning's message. Go and listen to them. All the messages in this church are free of charge. So this morning, I spoke about when God wants to speak to you, he shows you the way. W-A-Y, way. I'm going to talk in this service about the way, and I'm definitely, without a doubt, going to talk about a work. W-R-K, way and work. I'm going to talk about this service. So let's just run through the way again. I gave a story in the first service of when I was, I mentioned the fact that many times the problem we have is that there's so many options. You know, if you don't have an option, you know you don't have a choice, just go through that route. But when you have options, then you get confused because there are many options. There are many options. And sometimes the options are the reasons why we make mistakes. Sometimes the options are the reason why we don't know God's way, because there is God's way and there is your way. There is a simple way, there is an easy way, there's another way. I mentioned in first service how, as a young believer, I was believing God for a Christian husband. And I saw this particular gentleman, and he was, well, a young man equally. He wasn't like a gentleman, well, not gentleman, I mean, age group. And this gentleman was interested in me. And it's very interesting to note that I actually had things I'd written that were not from the Spirit, put it that way. It was just so, this was me, I just want a good marriage. I'd never seen anyone around me that had a bad one. Christians and non-Christians alike. I hadn't, to be honest with you. So, I wanted a good marriage, and I thought, out of all the good marriages around me, I saw one that was excellent. Now, that was an uncle of mine. This my uncle had a particular name. This my uncle had a particular profession. This my uncle. So along that line, he was from a particular place. And I, in my ultimate wisdom at the age of probably 20, thereabout, thought that a guy that is bearing this name from this nation, from this state, from this town, with this profession, must be a good man. So those are the things I wrote down. That God, when you give me a husband that is exactly like my auntie's husband, and exactly like my dad. And it's very interesting, my dad bought the same name as the guy. So I thought, come on. It couldn't, My dad's not from the same place, but it was the same name. And I absolutely love my dad treated my mom so well before my mom went to heaven. 50 years. They were 2 months away from 50 years. I've never seen her cry once. And they didn't get saved until after I got saved. So it's not because they were Christians. And my mom was tough, man. My mom was really tough. That's a very nice guy. So you can see how I feel about my dad and how I feel about my mom. You can see where I tilt. However, so on this particular issue, I brought this before God in quote, and then I saw somebody. I thought that must be the person. He fitted perfectly well, but I knew what God said. This person was not serious about God. He goes to church, but he wasn't serious about God. And you know, like many of us try to do when we want to pick our way, I gave all the reasons why he has to be the guy. I mean, I know he's not serious about God, but his mom, his dad, he comes from a good home. All those things that you kind of put into it, I think, it must be the person. So I went to tell my mates about it. I had two friends, very good friends of mine. I mentioned it to them and said, let's all go and pray. Because we used to pose for each other about how God talks to us when I was younger. And we came back, and I said, God spoke a word to me from Scripture. And I tilted it towards what I wanted to know. And my friend said, oh, well, God showed me a vision once. The other day, we used to pose about it. The other one said, God spoke to me audibly, and I heard. I was upset with God. I was really upset. Why would God talk to somebody else about my life audibly and not tell me about my life? I really want to tell you something today. If you genuinely want to hear God tell you audibly about your life, you will. It's because you're not desperate enough. You don't want to. You don't want to. I was pushed to it because somebody else knew better about me than me. Okay, maybe it's a competitive spirit inside me as well. Because I don't like people doing better than me in things that are my area. This is my area, my life. So I took it back to God. I was upset with God. I cried that, and I said, I'm not leaving your presence until you talk to me tonight. I started crying. I cried so much. Somewhere along the line, I fell into a trance. I was not sleeping. I fell into a trance. And I saw God's hand. And at the hand point, I saw a hand. I didn't see the owner of the body. The owner of the hand, but I saw the hand. And he pointed to the person that looked like the frame of that gentleman and said, this one shall be wicked. I can never forget. I'm 48 now, right? I'm talking about something that happened to me 28 years ago. I can never forget. This one shall be wicked. How on earth will I know that that one will be wicked? He was such a nice guy. There is no element of wickedness in him. Such a nice guy. Comes from a great home. No example of wickedness around him. Yet God knew. There is a way that seems right to a man. The end of it is disaster. It's problematic. It's trouble. But God knows. God knows. It's very essential that when we take time out to pray, we take time out to actually hear what God has got to say. When I went back to my friends to go and tell them about it, guess what? One said I'd walked so far with the person and the person turned back. I was begging and begging and the person refused. That is wickedness. That is wickedness. But God knew. As at that time, you couldn't, in all honesty, and all the people I've met, Christians and non-Christians, I'd not met anybody nicer than this gentleman. So there is no way, very soft-spoken, very nice person, there is no way, but God knew. When you live your life in such a way that you allow God to lead you, when you pray, it shows you the way to go because it knows the end of the route. It knows the end of the way. And we read Isaiah chapter 63, verses 11 to 14 in the morning, and I shared with us from that scripture. It says, when God leads you through a way, you will not stumble. Very important. You need to go and underline that. When God is the one leading you through a way, you will not stumble. And one of the things I mentioned in the first survey, I said, how do you then know that this is the way that God has led you through? When God gives you a way to walk through, how do you know it's the way? The very, very first thing is, it becomes a door. God opens a door to walk in the way. And when God opens the door will never contradict his word. I was doing something. Let's examine that story I told you. I knew this person was not saved. As at the time, I was a young believer. The only thing, if you don't know any other scripture, you know two scriptures. You know John chapter 3, verse 16. Then the second thing you know. You know 1 Corinthians. You know, if any man is in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away, all things have become new. You know it all in King James Version, by the way. As at that time. Then the third thing you must know, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. This guy was not a believer. And I knew it. He goes to church, but he was not a believer. And I knew it. But I painted a picture I once painted to my friends. And when God gave me a scripture, I tilted the scripture to suit what I wanted. But I knew what God said. When God speaks to you, it will never contradict what His word had said before. When it is God's way, that door that He has opened will never be in contradiction. Somebody once came to pastor and said, God told me that I should start paying 5% as my tithe for now. Pastor said, no. Let's do it this way. You pay God His 10%. Let me know the shortfall in your income at the end of every month, because you have paid God His 10, and I'll give you the difference. Because there's no way. God cannot tell all of us, your tithe is your tithe. And then you say, God told me it's 1%. No. It doesn't contradict His word. And do you know what? He will not change His word for you and I. So the earlier we get to know His word, again, that's how you can confirm that God is telling you to go through a route. Because if you don't know what His word has got to say about it, then you are shooting blind, really. Anybody can tell you anything. The reason why someone gives you a prophecy and you get all hung up on it and it all goes all wrong is because somebody has given you a word that is contrary to the word of God and you believe it. Because you don't even know what God has got to say about the issue. Some people give supposed counsel. The counsel is to destroy, not to build. And you follow it. And then you say, but why did God let everything go wrong? Because you did not follow God's ways. There is the way that is God's way. There's a way of living your life that is God's way. And it will never contradict His word. Another thing is that when God gives you an open door, when God opens an opportunity for you, you will not need to force it. All this trying to force it, to put it in place, is too much work. Because some of us are very strong. We are constantly forcing things to happen. It's a matter of time the thing will break. If you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, force, if the peg is wooden, it's a matter of time it's going to break. Stop forcing things. Because if it is God that has put you on that way, if it's God that has given you that direction, if it's God that has given you that to walk, that as your idea, it will bring things to pass. It will be so easy. It will be so, so easy. By the time you have to falsify your CV, you have to force something, you have to write what you haven't done, you have to do what you have not written, what is the problem? It can't be God. It cannot be God. God, all this force, let's make it happen by force. I was telling a story in first service about how a particular lady said she really wanted to lose weight and she's been praying about it and she thought, okay, her Achilles heel was donuts. So she said she wasn't having donuts again. However, the problem was she has to drive through a donut shop to get to work every single day. And everybody in the work loves it. So she prays a prayer before she leaves and says, Lord, if you don't want me to have donut this morning, let me not find a parking space in front of the shop. So she then drives, got to the place, no parking space, drove around again. And on the seventh time, she found a parking space. I said, God, you gave me a parking space. Now I have to buy this donut. What can we do? Seventh time. After you forced it. Stop forcing it. Stop forcing it. If it is God, there's no need to force. If it is God, it makes all things beautiful in His time. It shows a way. It opens a door. You will stop stressing about it. If God opens a way for you, He accompanies it with a confirmation. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 16. God is not too tired of confirming what He has said to you. He says He will give you for 2 to 3 witnesses in that scripture. You can ask God one more time. And one more time, God, is it you speaking to me? And what are you saying? And God opens the door for you, you will need to depend on Him. You know, a door that you think is God that opened, or a way that you think God has given it to you, and I know what I'm doing, and I can do what I want. That's not God. You know, that's not God. When God creates a way for you and I to walk in, it gives you an opportunity and us an opportunity to rest in Him. God can tell you to go somewhere and not tell you exactly where. And you have to rest in Him all through as you go through the journey. To trust in Him, even when things are hard. Will things be hard when God is giving you a way to go through? Yes, things could be hard. I'm not saying things will not be hard. But if God is the one that has given that route, He provides the grace to go through it. That's how you know. You have that massive sense of peace in the midst of all those challenges. So when you pray, one of the ways that God show you what to do is to give you and show you a way. We read Exodus chapter 33 and from verse 12. And Moses said, look, if you are leading me, show me the way. The Bible says He made known His way unto Moses in Psalm 103. When you ask for God's way, He makes His way known to you. Psalm 107. He makes His way known to you when you ask for His way. I always say to God, Lord, show me the way. I don't know how to. Many of us are, well, I've had a child before. I know what to do with this one. No, no two children are the same. You don't. You've had two before, you want to have a third one. There's a different way because every child has a destiny. Every job has a different way of doing with it. Everything has a different way of addressing it. I was reading the scripture about how, and I thought that was a good example God gave us there. When David had to fight a battle two times in one chapter, and he fought the battle two different ways. God is saying to you and I, even the same battle with the same set of people, in the same set of circumstances, could be fought two different ways. Find out my way. Can you imagine if he had gone and said, you know what? I got it right time. First time, I'm not going to bother God this time around. Let's just get on with it. You're going to make mistakes. The next one I want to talk about is a work. Work, W-R-K. When God wants to speak to you, when God wants to answer your prayer, he gives you something to do. Something to do. You know, I was reading a couple of scriptures. Okay, firstly, let's go to the book of Psalm chapter 28. There's always something God wants you to do. He said to the children of Israel, he said, set your house in order. I'm about to visit you, but set your house in order first. What exactly is God telling you to do? There is no blessing without an instruction. Mr. DJ taught us on Friday, a very fantastic message. There is no blessing without an instruction. Many of us just think that God just gives us and keeps giving us and just keeps giving us. When you finish praying, what is he telling you to do? He can say, set your house in order. If you don't set your house in order, he will not visit. If you don't change some things, God will not do anything. We think that God is such a gracious God, he will just do things anyway. No. If he won't look at Jesus with sin on him, he won't look at you with mess around you. He will not. He won't. If he didn't change for Jesus, you know that, you know, you can tell how somebody will behave towards you when you see how they behave towards their children. If they're very, very compassionate and loving to their children, you can be sure of compassion and love. If they are really harsh to their children, be ready for it. Be ready for it. Because that person doesn't know how to do it. If you don't do it with your children, you don't know how to do it anymore. You don't know how to do it. If he did not allow Jesus to carry a mess on him and still look at him and embrace Jesus like that, if he had to turn his eyes away from Jesus, he will not take you on your mess. He will give you instruction. He will keep loving you and say, change it, change it, change it. I don't do a lot of yorky. I'm not very good at yorky at all. But when we had children, when we had particularly my second one, she would, you know, eat and just mess up the whole of her face. And by this time, she was old enough to. I said, go and wipe your face if you want me to carry you. If you don't wipe your face, I won't carry you. Mommy, but carry. I said, no, but I can't carry. Go and wipe your face and I will carry. And then she'll wipe her face if she really needs carrying. But if she doesn't want carrying, but please carry. I said, no, I'm not carrying you. If you don't wipe some things off, God will not carry you. There are things to do. When you pray, God gives us instruction. God says, look, sort out that area. If you think, if I cry hard enough, it will ignore. It won't ignore it. It will just keep going. When I was a younger believer, I was told you can repeat a class over and over again in God until you pass it. You think you've passed through, you didn't pass it, just wait. That test is coming around the corner all over again. If you failed it once, you fail a test of self-control. It's a matter of time. I give you maximum, my understanding of God to date, maximum, another 3 months. It will happen again in another way. You fail a test with your tongue, it will come again because it will keep coming until you pass it. And if God is saying, clean out your heart, it means clean out your heart. Psalm 28, if you read from verses 4 to 5, there's always something he tells us to do. He says, give them according to their deeds. He says, I'm going to give them according to what they do. There is a doing when it comes to God releasing and visiting with you. There is a doing. There's something you've got to do. Give them according to their deed. He said, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the works of their hands. God looks at the works of your hands. God looks at what you have done. God tells you to do things, you do them, and then he visits you based on that. When you do things, I mentioned earlier, if you want God to fast forward things in your life, just embrace God's people and be doing things today. Because as you do it, God looks at the works of your hand. God looks at the way you live your life. God looks at the works of your hand. He says, give them according to the works of the hand. Render to them what they deserve. If God's going to render to you what you deserve, what are you going to get? When God visits with you, he corrects you. He says, look, change the works of your hand. This whole, you know, pay your tithe today, don't pay for the next 4 months, and you think God will visit you financially. It's not going to break his law. It won't break his law for you. It won't break it for me. pay your tithe and let God sort the rest out. I always say to God, I say, God, okay, when I pay my tithe, I know that the money was not enough anyway. So even if I don't pay my tithe, it will not be enough. So I might as well pay my tithe. I know that at least I'm covered in the things I cannot see. Then let the things I see start falling in place. You know, we say in the world of finance that there are only two ways to have more money. You either cut your expense or you increase your income. There's only two ways. In the kingdom of God, there's only one way to be financially prosperous. Mainly, when you tithe, it comes with a lot of covering. Things, particularly the things you don't see and the doors you could never have opened for yourself. Now, if you don't do it, that's your work. If you're now going to give, you render to them according to what they deserve. What are you going to get? How will God visit you financially if you don't do what he has told you to do? It doesn't carry a child with a mess. I've corrected you. You are at that age now where you should know. When you just don't know, you just started, that's fine. And then somebody will teach you. Now you know. If you know and you choose to do what you should not do, should God not then, in an infinite mercy, give you what you deserve? It will be travesty of justice for God to bless you when you are not doing the right thing. And I'm doing the right thing, I expect him to bless me as well. It doesn't, you know, we assume that it will just close his eyes. If you don't know, it's a different thing. And it waits for you to know, and it teaches you a little per time. But when you have known, it says, my son, you have now come of age. There are things you're allowed to do, and there are things you're not allowed to do. Render to them according to the works of their hands. When you pray, God speaks to you and says, change that work there so I can visit with you. Do that thing differently so I can visit with you. Do this, and I will visit with you. For some people, it is God says, no, it's time for you to sacrifice something. It could be your time. He could say to you, look, do you want this? Okay, I want to walk with you from now onwards. Maybe, you know, somebody was talking to us and said, oh, nobody did this for me, X, Y, Z. And I said to the person, I called her, I said, you know what? This is now a time for you to pick up your phone and start doing that for everybody. Sow things in that area that nobody did for you and let God, who can reward, be the one to reward you. So when God wants to visit with you, it tells you a work to do. When I was a younger believer, my grandma was a believer, but she was not an educated person. So she couldn't read her Bible, but she knew the scriptures. I think she's hung around church so much, she hears it so much. So she told me to read a particular psalm to her. That, you know, the psalm that says, may the Lord bless you in the day of your trouble. May he answer you. May he look at your burnt offering. May you look at your offering in a sanctuary. And she would then stop me at that point, bring out a book that somebody has written for her. All the names of different people that she has been a blessing to, all the names of people that are owing her that she has written of. And she will now lift it to God and pray and say, God, you see what I have let go because you say I should let it go. You see what I have done? He said, look down on me and my own and bless them. Now she was in her 80s. So it wasn't really herself she was praying for. It was us she was praying for. It was the next generation and the ones behind that she was praying for. There are things you will do in works that heaven will respond to your generation and the generations after for. I want to say to you, when God wants to visit with you, he tells you to do something. Do something differently. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your money. Sacrifice your person. Sacrifice your space. Show a little bit of love to somebody. You know, step outside of your comfort zone for the sake of the gospel. Not because you think you should. Let me correct that. I remember I was in a place and everybody was giving a pledge. Everybody was giving a pledge. And I gave a pledge. But I was a married woman, okay? So I gave this pledge and I went back and I said to him, I've given a pledge on Abia. I said, go and unpledge it. I said, what? He said, go and unpledge it. You're not the head of this family. How can you give a pledge that has to do with the whole family? And I thought about it. I said, why on earth did I give it? I said, God, if it is you that spoke to me, speak to his heart. So God didn't speak to his heart. I asked him again. I said, go and unpledge. And then I went to unpledge. So I went to talk to my pastor because I looked at the scripture. Okay, how does this go in scriptures? So I looked at the way it goes in scriptures. So he now came and I sat me down and said, there are ways of going about things. God spoke to him and that was what we're going to do anyway. But I felt, we're big enough to do this. Why not? Because everybody was doing it. Not because God said to do it. So I'm not saying, particularly as a woman that have a head over you, that you go and plunge yourself into something and put the whole family into it, you will need to go and unpledge if you have that kind of husband. But get it right with God. Not an emotional thing. I'm not saying God wants you to do emotional things. I'm saying when you pray, ask the Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me change? What would you have me do differently? Because when God will visit with you, you will need to do something. You really will need to do something. But unless you know, you will never walk in the fullness of it. Unless you know, you will never walk in the fullness of it. Jonah chapter 2. Let me quickly read that scripture to you. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah prayed a prayer and God answered it. If you put it up, it'll be quicker probably. Jonah chapter 2. I want to read verses 7 to 10. Okay, I'm here. So Jonah started praying in chapter 2 verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. So he's done the wrong thing. God said to do something, he didn't do it. Then he prayed. And then he cried out to the Lord, and the whole of his prayer went ahead. And verse 7 says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers went up to you in your temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of my thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and he vomited Jonah out. Why on earth did God wait for that? Jonah was in the fish's belly, and he was praying and praying and praying and praying, God help me, I'm sorry about what I did before. Then he now said something, he said, look, he said, you know what, I'm now tired. I'm really now tired. So God, I need your help. So I will sacrifice to you with the voice of my thanksgiving. It could be thanksgiving that God wants you to do, that you should change your voice and just giving him thanks, irrespective, and all the way you go. He says then, I will pay my vows. Whatever it is he has told God he was going to do, I will pay my vows. And then, because salvation is of the Lord. And the Bible says, and then God answered, and the fish vomited him. If Jonah needed to do it, you will need to do it. When God wants to visit with you, it gives you a way, it gives you a work, something to do. I want you to rise to your feet with me this afternoon, and I want you to lift your voice to heaven. You know, in Psalm chapter 20, it says, God will remember, and then the man will repent, then God will repay. He will repay, he will regard him. I want you to pray for yourself today. I don't know what God is saying to you or what God has told you in the past to do that you haven't done. I want you to lift yourself to heaven and say, Lord, I will not be disobedient. Because there is no way God will embrace you with a mess on you. God will embrace you when you have done what he says to do. There is always a work. There's something he wants you to do. It could be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It could be your vows. It could be your time. It could be your treasures. It could be just to set some things in order in your life. But whatever it is, God is still in the business of visiting people when they obey his voice. Hallelujah. Put your hands together as a welcome, Pastor Eddie.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Jehovah, we commit ourselves unto you this morning. Lord, we ask, O God, for the grace to hear you. To hear you when you instruct us in the name of Jesus. We receive the grace to hear your word. We receive the grace to hear the wisdom. Lord, we receive the grace that, Lord, to open our eyes to see the wise partner you have sent to us. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you open our eyes to the way that seems right to you, Father, and receive the grace to comply in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Jehovah, we thank you because from today we will never lack direction. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Peace may be seated. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. There's nothing as good as divine direction and divine guidance. And it starts from the place of prayer. Every time you pray, God will tell you what to do. And he tells you by his word, by wisdom, by sending you a wise partner, and by showing you his way.